Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
You sure are.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael has left the building. We got some fun stuff going on. Here it is today, Michael, April 5th, and we have a rockin' show in store for our listeners today.
Undoubtedly we do, Andrew. And today we have three guests in studio to tell us about the Studio C production of All Shook Up at the historic El Portal Theater in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood, playing April 13th through 22nd on the Debbie Reynolds main stage.
That's right, and this is such an entertaining show, Michael. What could be more fun than a night full of Elvis Presley's greatest hits? And if you wear a pair of blue suede shoes to the show, you're going to get yourself a special gift from the producers. A great show and a great excuse to go shoe shopping. What can there be better than that? Right? My lips went on vacation today. You know we had an earthquake today.
Yes,
I know. What happened? I got all shook up.
Oh, you did? Uh-huh.
I'm going to be here all week,
so
ladies
smooth.
And gentlemen. Please don't forget to tip your waitresses. Now, I got to tell you, it's strange. You know, it's like I was driving, and I get this frantic call from my children today going, Daddy, there was an earthquake. And I said, okay, how's everybody doing? They said, we're fine, but the window shook. You know, and for the rest of your day, you're going, okay, it's just a tremor.
We're all
right. You know, you just always worry about it. So. But it was interesting. Off Channel Islands, they said. So.
Hey, you know what? Just what you said here about the if you wear blue suede shoes, the producers will give you something nice, a surprise.
Nice.
Of some sort. I have.
I knew you would. I knew you would. Now, is that the only color of blue of suede shoes you have? Is you only have blue, or do you have red as well?
No. Just blue.
It's pretty
suede
impressive,
shoes.
Michael. Yeah. Pretty impressive. Yeah. So you'll be there, and you'll be looking for that special
I'm
gift.
There on opening night, man.
Barry's going to go back and go, okay, now we got to go buy a gift. We didn't think anybody was actually going to do it.
Gift.
The gift was coming here to be on your show.
Oh, I like that man. That's why we keep having him back time and time again. A couple good friends of the show here today. Who are they, Michael?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have, where are we?
we have lost our way.
Your brain and my lips all on vacation.
Let's make this simple. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Barry Pearl, Cassie Silva, and Brent Ramirez.
That's right. Wow. That's an awful lot of talent in those three chairs, Michael.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. How you guys doing?
Good.
Cool.
Good.
Thank you all for joining us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What a cool show we have today. We should start it off, though, Michael, by go ahead and pay some bills. Let's thank our sponsors there. Let's do it.
I think so. We'd like to thank Princess Cruises, ladies and gentlemen, for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world. Renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations. Nations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win, and you do that by going to our network page at LA Talk Radio here and download the show, and you will see the Princess logo on that page and click on it. It will take you to the registration process, which will take you about maybe 5-6 seconds.
That's
to
right.
Complete. So
free to visit, free to register, free to get in on this. It's a great deal. And what a great prize, that cruise, too.
It's amazing.
Can you wear your blue suede shoes?
You bet you are.
Nice. Okay. Very nice.
And your life vest, it's a beautiful, beautiful outfit.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, they're such a great resource, you know, for the arts. And to be sure, speaking of great things, Andrew, anything great with your week this past week?
You know, this was a busy week. I was in studio. I was in green screen studio finishing up some fight stuff most of this week. But I was surprised by how many people were out and about. And then I realized it's spring break for so many kids. So it took me about 30 minutes longer to get anywhere I was supposed to go this week. But fun, and everybody seemed to be happy. Nice to have some good weather with no rain for a change. Yeah.
Did your children get spring break?
They get a two-week spring break. Yeah,
so
2 weeks spring break.
It's not mommy's spring break.
That's right. And it's funny, too, because you realize that when the kids are out, they're home and they go stir crazy all the time. So I come home to massive projects. You probably know some of this, Brent. Mm-hmm. Come home to my daughter having tied together all of her scarves to make a maze through the house. So the days of sitting down and watching a game on television with a beer in your hand are gone. Yeah. I get to go through a maze. And then she goes to bed. And who gets to untie all the scarves? Daddy does. That's right. But I tell you, what a joy. And it's also fun to see all that creativity. You know, we always tell people, get out to the live and performing arts. If you can't do that, you know, I'm a Kentucky boy, born and bred, and I remember my brother and I would just find pieces of wood and build stuff. It was like, hey, let's go find some wood in the workshop and just start building stuff. You think that creativity is what becomes sets or becomes, you know, costume building or anything like that. That's where the roots of the arts are built, which I think is such a cool thing to watch happening.
But you had a nice Easter Sunday.
Very nice, yeah. In fact, a lot of passion plays going up around the Southland. Did you get to go to services anywhere?
Yes, to the church that I go to, but not proper services. When I need to go to church, I'm Catholic, mm-hmm. and when I feel that need to go to church, I like to go in when there's nobody else in there.
Nice.
And sit down and or kneel, depending on what I'm talking about with God, and make it that kind of a visit. So that's what I did.
I was fortunate enough to get to play Jesus twice and Peter once. This because I go around to and obviously help with the readings around some of the churches, because it's the only thing they want me to do. They're like, yeah, if you could just read, that's pretty much all you're here for, Andrew. So I sat there, and it was fun because, you know, you get to hear the story over and over again in different depictions of it, and the talented writers who donated their time to kind of, you know, craft the story and make it palatable for audiences at Easter, and to see all those receptive people out there, so many people really feeling good this year and enjoying Easter and out with their families. It was nice to see.
Yeah, did have a wonderful Easter brunch with friends who are amazing cooks, and that's a rarity around my friends. Most of them, we put things in microwaves, and that's called cooking.
That's very true.
They do it from scratch. And everything from the dessert to the appetizer to the main course. A beautiful meal. And then I had to go do a show at the club.
Oh, of course you did. How did that go?
At Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, right across from the El Portal.
Of course.
It went well, considering the fact that it was not only April Fool's Day, but it was Easter, and it was also the end of Passover.
That's right. You know, I received a lot of invites.
Beginning
of Passover.
And when you're talking about culinary delights, I get to eat a tasteless cracker for 8 days.
Oh, brutal. You got to, man, I'm telling you, that's why I didn't become Jewish. That was the whole problem.
So. But I put, you know, margarine and, I'm watching my girlish figure, margarine and black raspberry jam.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
So I make a thing out of it. I actually, but you know what I did last night after rehearsal? I went to Carl's Jr. and had a fish sandwich wrapped in lettuce.
That'll be kosher. Very nice.
Gag me.
But the fries were good.
And now we just lost Carl Jr.'s as a sponsor.
No,
thanks so much.
One all up, Carl's. Oh, Carl and I go way back.
Well, I got to say, I love this time of year because there's so many cool things going on. I received an Easter basket from my mom in the mail. I think she just put something, because she knows I love those Cadbury eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got an assortment of those. Oh, man, those things are so, I was flashing. But although I can't eat them like I used to. When I was 12, I'd wolf down a whole package. Now I'm like one bite and I'm done. But they're still delicious.
My neighbor brought over to me I guess this is a thing. I think it was commercials this year, but gold Easter bunny from
dark chocolate.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's their limited edition dark chocolate Easter. Is it hollow or is it solid?
I don't
look
know.
Look at you,
it's
Barry.
Still,
you're up on it.
The Jew knows his chocolate.
He got the press release on it.
Barry Pearl has been talking, ladies and gentlemen.
I've become a connoisseur, whether the Easter marshmallow-filled bunnies are better than the caramel-filled bunnies. Some good chocolates out there, no doubt about it. Okay. Also, I got a call from my father today, or I spoke to him on the phone. He just had a minor surgery and was feeling good and healthy and all that.
Good.
And talking about how far surgeries have come. They did a slit through his wrist and went all the way up into his heart and all these kind of things. And he's home the day of the surgery.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Was that to put a stint in?
It was just two stints. Yeah. But it was interesting too, because one of the things that you realize is that, you know, we've obviously get caught up in so much of the nastiness and awfulness that's going on sometimes in our political climate and all that. The innovations, the time we're living in, what an extraordinary time. And think of all the good things we can do with that if we really buckle down and do it.
Well, I hope they'd find that out about people who have back problems.
You know, and Michael, I got to say, you're moving around good now, though. I expect to see you dancing coming in here today.
I am so determined to do this organically instead of going through surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm exercising every day on the exercises that I have been taught at the Orthopedic Institute here in Southern California. So, I love going there, and I'm going to add swimming.
Nice.
Swimming meaning using a pool and exercising in the pool because it gives you so much more tension, you know, that you have to contract and do all of that, and it's superior, actually, I think, to even just the floor exercise.
That's great.
You've seen the people at SCOE?
Yeah, I mean,
that's where I go.
SCOE is a rehabilitation center?
It's Southern California Orthopedic Institute.
Wow.
They're terrific.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Nothing better than keeping your body in good shape and feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, too much can go wrong on back surgery, even though I know that it is advancing, but I don't want to be the one guy that, you know, is paralyzed at the end of the operation. So I'm staying away from it.
As glad as I am to see you moving good, I do miss your schnazzy cane.
You do?
Yeah, have you thought about carrying that even though you're well now? Kind of walking around with that leopard print cane.
I do not.
Okay. All right. You know, it kept our
cool
guest
cane
in lines too, you
it
know.
Is. So you can Yeah, no, it is a cool cane, and I keep it in, where do I keep it? I keep it next to the bed in case I wake up in the middle of the night and feel out of balance or something.
Right. Now that's a good plan. A good plan. And, I mean, if there's anybody who knows accessories, it's you.
Really?
No doubt about it, man. Wow. How's your moving stuff going? You doing okay with all that?
I am just honing in. I'm moving out of my home, getting a new residence after 7 years. Honed in on one of two places.
Very nice.
But it's outrageous what is being charged for houses today.
That's true.
Not only to purchase them, but to lease them and or condos or anything of the like, it's out of control.
Yeah. And it's a seller's market now, too.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Average price is $700,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why is it, though? What is driving it to be? Is it the political climate? Is it and Wall Street?
Less
being
building,
by
I would
that?
Assume, and more maybe less building because materials are more expensive.
Right.
And California is such a beautiful place to be. So many people still moving into the state all the time.
There should be a limitation, don't you think?
No, I'm an owner.
He's ready to sell. He's like, Michael, what do you need? Let's talk price.
Well, but then I couldn't afford to buy anything
that's
here.
Right.
A new mortgage,
right.
So, but I can buy two houses in Pennsylvania. So, you know,
you got that right.
That's right.
And that's a thought. But then there's weather.
Right.
Right.
And sweeping or snow removal each winter would not be fun. No doubt about it.
What we all do is pretty much anchored out of here, for me at least.
Yeah.
And I know that as a performer, you can go elsewhere, but. Yeah, I've gone through this whole cycle of thought, and I just have decided that I've got to stay in within the same area, ideally. Now, I would be fortunate enough to live in Malibu like you.
You can come. Do you mind babysitting? You can come stay in my little two-bedroom apartment. You're more than welcome to Ocean View. I never get to see it because I'm gone working all the time to pay for it.
Well,
but
that's a big payoff.
Plus, now we got earthquakes there, man. Stay where you're at. You're in a much better spot. So. Well, Michael, should we go ahead and bring in these three amazing people officially?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
All right. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has over 50 years of professional experience as an actor, director, and teacher with countless Broadway shows, film, and TV credits to his name. He is best remembered for his portrayal of Duty in the film version of Grease and as Professor Tinkerbutt in Bedtime with Barney, Imagination Island.
He made his Broadway debut in 1961 as Randolph McAfee in the original production of
McAfee.
Is it McAfee?
I wasn't
not
going
McAfee?
To correct you for the third time. I was going to just let you kind
do
of...
Do I always say that whenever you're on the show?
Yeah, but you know, McAfee. It endears you to me.
It must be because I write in all caps.
That's why. So
in the original production of Bye Bye Birdie, continuing with the national tour and Vegas companies of the show. He toured with the first national tour of the producers and played the roles of Mr. Marks, Kevin, and Jason Green in the Broadway production. He then returned to the Broadway stage again for Baby, It's You.
Other stage productions include the original Broadway company of Oliver, the first national tour of Grease, Guys and Dolls, Fiddler on the Roof, and countless regional credits. Some film credits include Avenging Angel, Dutch Treat, My Favorite Martian, and The Newest Pledge.
He has been a TV series regular on CPO Sharky, New Love American Style, and Superior Court. Some TV guest appearance roles include Criminal Minds, House, ER, Mismatch, Beverly Hills 90210, Days of Our Lives, Even Stevens, and The Amanda Show, to name a few.
He also plays Murray. He has also played Murray in the hilarious Old is New original web series. Oh, I guess you are playing it, right? Mm-hmm. It's in the process. Mm-hmm. I will say that again. So he also plays Murray in the hilarious Old is New original web series Boomers, coming to a YouTube channel later this year. His many award-winning performances have garnered him a Dramalogue Award, the Santa Barbara Independent Press Award, and the San Diego Playbill Billy Award.
He's here with us today to tell us about his current project as director of the remount of All Shook Up, opening at the El Portal in North Hollywood April 13th and running through the 22nd.
We're so happy to have him with us once again, ladies and gentlemen, today. Please welcome Barry Pearl.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week. And what's funny is that's the cut down version. I looked at your original bio when you were on the show.
Enormous.
Had a chop, man. Unbelievable.
Enormous.
Started working when he was, how old were you when you started
11.
Working? 11 years
an,
old.
An embarrassment of riches. I'm blessed.
You know what I was doing when I was 11?
What?
Just sitting around, hanging out, watching
together.
TV, building stuff with wood, right. Apparently. My goodness.
And from Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know that I just did a film in Kentucky.
You are, in fact, Stephanie Coltrane. One of our dear friends.
Yes.
One, I love her so much.
Me
you know,
too.
I'm still a local hire in Kentucky, by the way.
That's great.
I keep residency both. I work there for commercials fairly frequently now.
Good
I'm
thing
surprised.
To know that. They're doing all kinds. Branscombe Richmond, my friend Branscombe, has brought
great
film
name.
Production there because of the tax incentives. Stephanie's now a part of the
of
operation.
Of course, yeah.
And they've done like 15 films. I mean, it's amazing. This one's called The Silent Natural, which is about William Dummy Hoy.
The ball player. I know his story a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, his story is he was deaf.
That's right.
And responsible, ultimately, for umpires calling balls and strikes with their hands because he couldn't hear.
Oh, that's cool.
Though he's not credited with it. Nor
right,
is he in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're trying to do that.
Wow.
For years they've been trying to do that.
Now, do you remember where he grew up?
I want to say Wisconsin, maybe.
Amazing.
I played the owner of the Wisconsin team.
Wow.
And I can't remember in the script now where it is that he hails from, but he's there. He tries out for the team, and my manager doesn't hire him because he wants $65 a month.
Wow.
As opposed to $55. And then my scene is about, you know, slamming the manager for not hiring him because this guy could throw a bullet from center field to home plate before the third base runner could hit the base.
A
great record.
Well, it's interesting, too, when you look at, I think, his life story, as well as so many that were featured in Ken Burns' amazing documentary,
yes.
Baseball. But there was, I mean, at the time when baseball started, it was a place where anybody could go.
Yeah.
You know, they had Native Americans playing, they had African-American players, Cuban players, and then all of a sudden that changed in the early 1900s, mm-hmm. into the 1800s, and it was like it became this weird, exclusive, old money, weird thing.
Yeah.
But it started as just, hey, let's just go play some ball, which is such a cool thing. You got so many people there who really didn't have a place anywhere else.
Right.
That's amazing.
It's a great story. David Rizzotto was the man who wrote and directed it, and he had also done a documentary called I See the Crowd Roar, I believe is the name of it. And then he wrote a film screenplay now, so that's what this is.
Well, yeah, I grew up in Kentucky, and I was there since I was 11 years old, and I love the state, and it's amazing how much economically they've changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Film production's got a home there now, a
mm-hmm.
lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of plays going on there as well. Of course, the Stephen Foster story was big for so long, but Louisville's got amazing theater right now. All the big national tours go through there, so
and,
cool stuff.
And great, one of the best cheeseburgers I've ever eaten.
Where?
At Farrell's.
Oh.
Cost you $22 to get there by Uber and back, but the burger for $1.89 you can't
do it. Well, and
it's a great burger.
And there's so much great food there too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
really amazing. But of course, as a bourbon fan, I always do the bourbon trails.
Oh,
got to hit the bourbon trails.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went actually. Farrell's is right across the street from a seafood restaurant called Black Patch, and I literally took an Uber down. Now, should I go to Farrell's or should I go to Black Patch?
I love it, Barry.
Seafood in Kentucky. Why not?
That's a good idea.
I went to Black Patch, and I said, I ordered a martini. I said, wait a minute, this is bourbon country. What's a bourbon? She goes, let me give you some samples.
Nice.
Some samples?
I'm in. Residency.
So the two little samples, I was toasted. And then I had Eagle something.
Eagle Rare.
Eagle Rare, exactly. Right. And then I had my Old Fashioned made with Eagle Rare.
Very nice. Eagle Rare is the subgenre of Buffalo Trace, which does Blanton's, which is my favorite bourbon.
Yeah, and they have, oh, fabulous.
Beautiful bourbon.
Oh, I've just gotten so into bourbons lately.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, the number you can call is.
Yeah.
I tell you, we've been there a number of times, and it's amazing to see the history of some of those places, you know, in Kentucky and all throughout the country, the way they were built up and all that sort of
great
thing.
Great history.
Pretty cool.
May I first say this?
Yes.
You're going to talk about my hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love your ponytail.
It's the only thing I got going for me these days. I'm not bald yet, so I'm happy.
Let me say Natalie Vivino, Brent Ramirez, who is with us today, Philip McBride, Vanita Mixon, Scott Stroud, Laura Dickinson, another brilliantness, Zoe Reed, Sam Herbert, Tracy Lohr, again brilliant, Paul Panico, Joa Ditto, Michael Dumas, Maya Gallopo, Augusto Guardo, Jamie McRae, Rianne Vasquez, Jessica Wallace, James Johnson, Nicholas Meyer, Drew Lake, Quinn Martin, Jade McGlynn, Jenna Stocks, Grant Measures, Mooney Naradam, it's James Matthew Johnson, by the way, Sophia Fox, and those folks make up the principal and ensemble cast of our All Shook Up, and there's just nothing better. Seated here, of course, is, as I mentioned, Brent and my dear choreographer, co-choreographer, Cassie Silva. That was your last name when I last talked to you. Cassie Silva. And
she changes it regularly,
Keenan,
depending on the job.
Keenan Hooks. They put together the choreography in this piece, produced by Christy Reed. And Emily Cohn, who is our musical director. The list goes on, the creatives. I am blessed to be in the company of these folks, both here and at our rehearsals, and eventually on the stage at the El Portal Theater opening April 13.
Got a great one. Tell me where the idea for this show came from. This is the second incarnation of it, correct?
It had opened on Broadway in 2005. A friend of mine by the name of Jonathan Pollard produced it along with the infamous Harvey Weinstein. And I got to see it then. And I felt that next to Mamma Mia, it really made the contrived an art form.
Wow.
And yet, at the same time, the music, it's a jukebox musical, so it's all these Elvis Presley tunes that are woven into the story that's based on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Now, it's not done in the Elizabethan tongue. It's a modern day, though we think it's kind of in the 50s, the late 50s, though it's not said, it's implied. They talk about Mamie Eisenhower and such, and you know, so we think that's where we're at. And I thought to myself, they're not pushing square pegs into round holes. These songs really fit this story and move the plot along very well. So it was wonderful, but it was dragged down into the mud by the lack of success of Good Vibrations, which was the Beach Boys jukebox musical, and Lennon, directed by my friend Don Scardino.
Of course.
It didn't go very well. So they felt, that's just another one of those. And it was overlooked with the Tonys and the whole nine yards. But it was wonderful.
And the book is by Joe.
The Joe DiPietro, who brought us "I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change."
And Memphis.
And Memphis. Yes. So this is all prior to that. And I forget who directed the original production. You may know that. But anyhow, did a tour. I did a production of it at Musical Theater West with the beautiful Tracy Lohr playing the role of
Very
Sandra.
Very nice. Wow.
And Gwen Stewart playing Sylvie at the time. And the lovely and talented Betts Malone playing the role that Natalia Vivino plays. The role of Natalie. It was a wonderful production, directed by Steve Glaudini, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And so now, Studio C Performing Arts, we mounted a production of it in Simi Valley, the Simi Valley Cultural Arts Center, with most of the cast that's with us today.
Of course, Paul Panico
Panico.
Who's so well known. And Joa Ditto, who was at Christmas Carol with me for a couple years.
A great young man.
And his pops, too.
Good family, fun
family. And not only that, but dedicated theater supporters, which I love. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
So we did it there, and Ron Kirk's, is it Kirk's? It's 3,000 miles off Broadway. Gary Grantham and Ron, I always get his name wrong. Kirkston or Kirk's, I think. Kirkson. Kurtz. Beg your pardon, Ron. I think we're now closing tomorrow. they came out and they said, Ron came out and saw the show and said, this could work with the El Portal with us.
Nice.
And picked it up, and here we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the El Portal, too. I mean, one of the most historic, historic venue here in Southern California, but one of the most respected historical venues as well.
There are two reasons as well. In honor of the late Marilyn Monroe and the 50th anniversary of her death, the smaller of the two theaters in the El Portal complex was dedicated to Miss Monroe, so it's now the Monroe Forum. And Marilyn went to school at the elementary school that is directly behind, still today, the theater when she was a foster child. And Debbie Reynolds, for whom the main stage where El Sur Cup is playing, was recently renamed the Debbie Reynolds Theater in honor of her. So Debbie and Marilyn and other stars like that who were coming up, you know, as children and into the business and growing up into young ladies, they all went to the El Portal Theater on Saturdays, rode their bikes there to see movies because it was literally the only movie house in the East San Fernando Valley, right?
Yeah.
And then it became many things after that, Vaudeville House and various assorted things, and then back to the
In the early 90s, the theater company that I was a member of, Actors Alley, took it over.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And refurbished it.
That's great.
And built that theater in the lobby, which at the time was tough because they didn't build the walls the whole way up. And,
details.
And details. And so the sound bleed was ridiculous.
Oh, brutal.
And it was a theater inside a theater.
Brutal.
And we were about $500,000 undercapitalized. And then the earthquake hit.
Of course.
Right in the middle of construction. So we erected a tent, a saddle tent, right across the street, which is where the Academy is now. And we did a season there. And then another season or a half a season in that tiny little space that is just to the south of the main entrance of the El Portal. And then finally opened it. And then it kind of all fell apart and other folks took it over. And now it seems to be faring very well.
Yeah. It's busy. It's busy all the time. In fact, we're going to do L.A.'s Next Great Stage Star there.
Great. And we had done 13 there, the musical, that when it was Panic Productions, when Christy Reed, who is now producer of Studio C, was a co-producer with Paul Panico, hence Panic Productions, we took 13 from the Hillcrest Center for the Performing Arts and brought it to the El Portal for a couple of performances. So,
really,
grand space.
Let me ask you a question. Your career is so diverse. Do you favor one part of your career, than like being an actor? Is that where you love to live the most, or is it being a director? Or is
gosh,
it
you know,
combination
these,
of
these
both?
Guys will tell you that I'm sure, and I don't mean putting thoughts in your heart and head. I think they see me just having a grand time.
Yeah,
I just love painting the pictures, and I love having the brilliant paints that I have. First of all, so there's great gratification, you know, moving the pieces around and sitting back. And then there's also still that gratification of hearing this and, you know, or the dead silence when it's dramatic.
Knowing you need to change that, yeah.
But I think the thing that I like to do the most is work.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm gratified all the way around with any medium that I'm a part of. So it's just, again, I just love to work.
It
keeps me breathing.
Handling 26 cast members plus.
Yeah.
That's the 26 featured members, and then it's rounded out with the other.
Yeah, we have 10
ensemble.
Principals and I think 13 or 19 ensemble.
Wow.
Yeah. So
something like
15, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a job unto itself.
No doubt. The man we're talking to right now is Barry Pearl, and the show is All Shook Up at the historic El Portal Theater, opening Friday the 13th, April 13th, Friday the 13th, at 8 p.m., and then running all the way until April 22nd. You've got, of course, the standard time shows, 8 p.m., and then matinees on Saturday at 3 p.m., and it's Sunday, 2 p.m.
Correct.
So obviously some great things, and if you haven't been to the El Portal, it's a great theater. We love it
very much. For tickets, and we'll do this again later at the end of the hour, simply call 818-508-4200. You can also visit the theater website, I'm going to spell this, E-L, Portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, theater with an R-E at the end, .com. So elportaltheater.com or 818-508-4200. And you can visit the El Portal Theater box office on Lancashire Boulevard, 5269 Lancashire Boulevard, right in the heart of the NoHo Arts District.
That's right. Obviously, Barry's a great friend of the show, and the love that you do you enjoy when you're working on something comes through in all of your work.
Thank
not
you.
Only having you here, it's always such a joy.
Thank you for having us, too, please.
Let's do a live arts calendar.
Yeah, do we have time?
I think we do.
Okay.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's Never Love Never Dies, the spellbinding sequel to The Phantom of the Opera, will make its L.A. premiere beginning next week at Hollywood Pantages Theater, playing 3 weeks, April 4th through April 22nd.
10 years after his disappearance from the Paris Opera House, the Phantom has escaped to a new life in New York, living amongst the screaming joyrides and freak shows of Coney Island. In this new world, he has found a place for his music to soar, but he has never stopped yearning for his one true love. In a final bid to win back Christine's affection, the Phantom lures her, Raoul, and their son, from Manhattan to the glittering and glorious world of Coney Island.
Since its premiere in 2010, Love Never Dies has enjoyed productions worldwide in London, Australia, Denmark, Japan, and Germany, as well as multiple recordings, including a concept album in the London cast recording. Now, the North American tour begins. The musical to the U.S. brings the musical to the U.S. for the first time. Love Never Dies is a dazzling roller coaster ride of intrigue, obsession, and romance. Don't miss this magnificent continuation of one of the world's greatest love stories.
Love Never Dies will make its L.A. premiere next week at Hollywood Pantages Theater, playing April 4th through 22nd, as Andrew previously said. And for tickets or more information, call 800-982-2787 or visit HollywoodPantages.com.
That's
or
right.
Ticketmaster.com.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, everything the Pantages does is so amazing, but this one sounds really special, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm going on Sunday to
excellent.
See this.
Well,
thing.
I can't wait to hear about it. It's
I
obviously
so.
Going to be a great project.
I
we'll talk
so.
About that more on the show
yeah.
coming up yeah. sometime soon, too.
Yes.
It's time, Michael, to bring in this lovely lady sitting here in the middle of these two gentlemen.
Is putting
no doubt about it.
She has raised the bar of beauty in this studio. I will tell
aww.
You.
He's never once said that about me. I hope you're happy. Unbelievable.
An L.A. native, our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a true triple threat, making her third appearance on State of the Arts, having grown up in the business with credits spanning from TV, film, and voiceover. She's expanding into producing and choreography, as well as her podcast, Fit for Broadway's The B-Way on iTunes.
She was cast in two national Jell-O TV ads at 7, had her first feature film credit at 9 with Happy Texas, starring William H. Macy, played Brenda in the feature film Hairspray, starring John Travolta and Queen Latifah, and appeared in the Dewey Cox Story TV series. Credits include Dexter and Valentine.
On the Los Angeles stage, she has appeared in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, mm-hmm. 42nd Street, Meet Me in St. Louis, White Christmas, which garnered her a stage scene LA, Cine LA Award for Best Performance by a Lead Actress in a Musical, the West Coast premiere of Spelling Bee, and A Chorus Line.
In 2010, she moved to New York to join the cast of Rock of Ages on Broadway, understudied the role of Mrs. Wormwood in Matilda the Musical. She recently returned to LA to launch the first national tour of Matilda the Musical, reprising her role as Mrs. Wormwood, for which she would receive a Broadway World nomination for Best Lead Female in a Musical touring production.
And of which I saw her do, and she was literally brilliant in that role.
I have no trouble believing that.
really, I was very taken aback because we've known each other a while.
And wow.
She's a lovely person, and she's an amazing performer. She's currently taking on the role of co-choreographer with Keenan Hooks in the Studio C production of All Shook Up, and she's here today to tell us about it. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Cassie Silva.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome. Well, now you've got a lot of stuff going on. First things first, tell me about your podcast a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
Glad to have you here.
I was nervous about how I was going to follow Barry Pearl. My goodness.
No one can.
No one can. I feel a little better.
I'm actually surprised. I did not even realize that you had all of that available, what you just read of me, so now I'm like, oh,
there
gosh.
Is no end to our research capabilities.
Google is real.
I've learned how to use it, man.
yes, I would love to talk a bit about my podcast. So I created it and I host it with the Fit for Broadway creator and producer, Jane Jordan.
Cool.
And then our wonderful friend, Justin Ramos. He does all of the engineering and all of the music for us, and it's about health, fitness, and the Broadway lifestyle.
Cool.
Yeah, I love it.
So are you still between New York and Los Angeles?
Yes.
Doing this?
Wow.
Yeah, I have officially made myself bi-coastal. I think it's more romantic that way, honestly. I really love New York. I think it's sparkly and fantastical, and I have been lucky enough to have so many amazing opportunities there. And for whatever reason, I am a total Cali Valley girl. and so I really enjoy, even if it, I just like an end date, if you will. I like to know if I'm going for 6 months, a year, 2 years, that all is good and fine. But for whatever reason, it just holds its romanticism for me when I can come home and focus on, I don't know, whatever it is that feels next on the list. If it's not necessarily in New York, then I like to do it by family and friends. And yeah. It's tricky to go back and forth it's not tricky. Flights are tricky. But, yeah, having people on both coasts is kind of rad.
That's cool.
So this new assignment of being a choreographer that's come into your life, are you enjoying this process?
I mean, my gosh. Yeah, thanks for asking. It's just so much fun. It really is. So my background, I guess the first thing that I ever did in life was dance. I sort of came out dancing.
That must have been unusual.
Terribly uncomfortable for my mother.
The doctors were right. The doctors were very surprised.
Yeah, it actually is really cool to just sort of like turn back around after having shaped that into a lot of mediums over, you know, I'm not old, but you know, I've been in the business, you know, basically my entire life. So it's really cool to turn it around and do something like co-choreographing, especially with somebody as awesome as Keenan. Because, you know, you get to turn around and sort of say, whoa, here's sort of what I've learned and here's what we can share. And let's talk about like storytelling through movement and how to actually put, you know, physical, physical varieties within, you know.
How do you break that down? Do you say you take these pieces, I'll take those, and then we'll kind of switch and bump them up? Or is it something where you work on each piece together?
Well, we sort of come up with whatever pattern we want for whichever project is at hand. For this one, because both of us at the time, the first time that we did the first Mount of All Shook Up, I happened to be in New York for a bit of time. And so we split it in a way that you sort of just described.
Cool.
Which was, we sort of said, okay, you do this one, I'll do this one, we'll do this one together, and sort of divvied it that way. And then when I came back, for whatever reason, Keenan and I share the same brain. We're not sure how it works yet, but it's really cool. I mean, he'll literally have a thought, and I can, I know exactly what he's thinking, and I just wait for him to sort of come to it,
know,
or then vice versa. So, yeah, it's really cool. Once we sort of see what the other one did, it's a beautiful makeup. Like, we're really able to, I guess, just build upon what each other has done.
That's exactly how theater should be. That's a great thing.
So you don't have any moments when you disagree with one another?
Oh, we do. She just always wins.
Oh, yeah. Of course, she's the girl.
Is that hard? Is there ever disagreement?
No. I mean, honestly, I feel like saying no is like a bold choice, but I want to say we work really well off of each other. If anything, we get overexcited. I actually have quite a few videos of us that I just, you know, I've posted up the camera while we're in like sort of the creative hole of things, just sort of crafting how we're going to piece together these like 50s moves to, you know, create these stories within the ensemble or the principal moments. And we're just like jumping up and down. We're like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? And the, you know, then Keenan will be like, oh my gosh, yes. And then this happens and this happens. And
cool.
I'm like, yes. And then we'll do this move. We're jumping up and down, screaming. And I actually have one of my favorite videos of us because, you know, I record all of our choreography sessions on my videos so that I can go back and take notes. And is one where we are both doing the same exact move. We haven't choreographed the following move yet. And we both are sort of in our zones, if you will, so we're not looking at each other or in the mirror. And at the same exact moment, we do the exact same move.
Nice.
And both of us, our faces, it's like we won the lottery or something. We're like, oh! No, oh my gosh, we both just go like running around the room. It's amazing.
Well, her name is Cassie Silva, and the show we're talking about is All Shook Up. And I want to know a little bit about this, because when you tell me that a show is based off of Elvis Presley and Twelfth Night, I have no idea what kind of choreography I'm going to see when I go. What should I expect when I sit down in these beautiful seats at the El Portal Theater?
Oh, well, you're definitely going to see some mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of ponies.
And now I'm just hungry. Thanks a lot.
You eat ponies? Oh,
ponies, it goes best with my mashed potatoes.
I mean, everything goes with mashed potatoes, right? Well, you know, our show is set in 1955 in a rural area, and so we really wanted to infuse that.
Sock hop feel?
Definitely the sock hop feel, very doo-woppy.
It's not just a lot of hip shaking then.
No, actually.
Actual full choreography, so couples dancing and full dance numbers. How cool.
Yeah.
That's great, because it's interesting. When I was reading it, and obviously we saw little clips from some of the first productions and that sort of thing, it looks like a lot of fun. It almost feels like you're kind of being transported back to a sock hop. Was that part of the intention? Good.
Yes,
good,
absolutely. We wanted to be really conscientious of being appropriate to the time period. That's
sure.
One of the things that that I personally love about Studio C is that there is an element of education, and so we really want to, I don't know, teach whoever's, you know, part of our show what's appropriate for that time and space and era, mm-hmm. and genre and all of the above. So yeah, there were a few times where I would come up with some type of move or something, and then I would come back and say, oh, shoot, no, that was not until like 3 years later.
And you got to go change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's very thoughtful. Sometimes that doesn't happen. People don't do that, what you just said. And it is like for the audience or anybody that has a performer's background will be the first one to say, what?
Mm-hmm.
That never happened, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some moments that we've put in as sort of a tongue-in-cheek or a wink-wink and a nudge-nudge to the fact that it is so much of a farce and, you know, it's very high energy. And so there are definitely moments of that. and thank goodness we have incredible talent. That's
yeah.
One of those people is sitting to my left.
Yes, he is indeed. Let's talk about him a little bit.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest has been a regular on the LA stage for over 15 years. In addition to his experience as a performer, he has directed and musically directed countless musical productions, cabarets, and showcases.
He holds a BA in musical theater performance from CLU, where he graduated with honors. He has had the privilege of performing with some amazing theater companies, including Kingsman Shakespeare Company, where he played Claudio in Much Ado and Paris in Romeo and Juliet.
Other credits include Curly in Oklahoma, Roger in Rent, Mitch Mahoney in Spelling Bee, Matt in The Fantastics, and Franklin Shepard in Merrily We Roll Along, among others.
Currently, he shares his love of performing and what he has learned both on stage and off at his very own studio in Thousand Oaks called Born to Perform Studio, where he introduces the performing arts to young performers.
He's here today to talk about his most recent role as Chad in Studio C's production of All Shook Up. Please welcome the very handsome and very talented Brent Ramirez.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome, Brent. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now,
that was amazing.
Is it only young performers at your studio? Like,
yes.
If I walk in, are you going to be like, no, dude, get on out of here, man?
Exactly.
Well,
I go
knew
to Studio
it.
C. No. No, yeah, all of my students are between the ages of 3 and 18.
Awesome. What a great thing to do, because if we're not passing on the legacy of the live arts, then what's the point, right?
Absolutely.
What a great thing
to
do, Brent.
How do those 3-year-olds do?
They're actually great. I mean, that they're the most fun to watch. You know,
they're fearless.
They are absolutely fearless. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I strive to do, is perform like a 3-year-old, you know, with that, with no fear, no, you know.
People
what I mean?
Say I drive like one, so it all works out well in the end. So. What a cool thing. Now, how'd you get involved with this musical? You were involved both times you've done the show. You've done the show twice, correct?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right, yeah. So I was involved in the first production.
Which was when and where?
That was in Simi Valley last year. I think it was October. And I actually got a phone call from Paul Panico, and
cool.
It was like, hey, you know, Barry Pearl's putting on the show. I think you'd be great.
Were you in when you heard Barry Pearl? I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Barry Pearl. Absolutely. Yeah. So I gave him a call. I auditioned. And, you know, I hadn't done a show in 4 years. So I was kind of like,
wow.
I don't know. And they offered me this role. Actually, when I went to the auditions, there was all these young, extremely talented, handsome.
Don't you hate young, talented, handsome people? Ruin it for the rest of us, man. What
I'm
is
like,
up?
Okay. I'm
Cassie
gonna,
just
I'm
left.
I'm going to get the sheriff. All right. No, but it's been a heck of a show to jump into, and the whole production staff, they are extremely generous and have been just a dream to work with. So
cool.
It's a fun show. Yeah.
So you were away from singing for those 4 years?
So I was teaching.
Just teaching, but not singing?
Right. Now, I have a 4-year-old son.
You do.
And a 2.5-year-old boy, Chasen in Phoenix.
Wow. Sounds like you were doing a little more than teaching,
my
friend.
I was doing a little bit more than teaching.
Busy man.
So they kept me busy. And
no doubt.
You know, so my focus was in that.
That's right.
And so
but those first 4 years just go by so quick,
oh,
don't they?
By.
I mean,
great.
You just look at it and you go, I had so many plans for this portion of my life, and it's been all children all the time. But what
exactly.
A cool thing to get back to it, especially with a production like this. Were you an Elvis fan beforehand at all?
You know, my family, we grew up with Elvis. I mean, you know, the Christmas songs, I'll Have a Blue Christmas, you know.
Uh-huh.
We had that playing in the house all the time, and my mom was a singer as well as my grandmother, and they used to sing Fools Fall in Love all the time. And I still have a cassette play, tape.
Cool.
Where I'm going to convert into an MP3. My mom just, she stopped by and gave it to me. So I'm going to convert it to an MP3.
Fantastic.
But yeah, so it's... There's nostalgia there.
What are some of the Elvis songs you'll be singing in this show?
We got All Shook Up, Roustabout, Come On Everybody, Follow That Dream, Heartbreak Hotel,
wow.
Teddy Bear, Hound Dog,
Love
Me Tender, Jailhouse Rock. Yeah, his whole career.
Amazing.
Basically,
we got to get Cole back in here and have these two face off, man. We Elvis is one of my favorites from years and years ago as well. But it's interesting too to find out how diverse his catalog was, from blues to rock to so many different soul and all these different kind of musics that he really was at the beginning of. For so many, he's such a groundbreaker. I think sometimes we think of him in his later years and we forget just how pivotal he was in his younger years. Yeah. What do you try to bring to this role that you think maybe is something that you want people to leave the theater going, wow, that's something unusual or different or unique?
Yeah, you know. So it can be easy to get into like a, you know, Elvis impersonator.
Right.
You singing Elvis' songs, you know, but the show can really appeal to people that aren't even familiar with Elvis, which is weird that you can say that, but you can.
Yeah.
And just the heart and soul, you know, and the true conflict that he actually sings about, and the hard parts of love and how confusing it is. And it's a touching story, really. While there's a lot of fun, you know, it deals with a lot of issues, like, you know, gender identity, sexual orientation, you know, just love and being true to who you are, and stuff like that. So just an acceptance overall, and just a love overall of people, regardless of the color of your skin, your gender, all that stuff.
Dancing ability?
Zero.
I'm severely
the lovely Cassie and Keenan. I went into the show. I'm like, I can't dance.
I've nicknamed him Brent 2.0 Dancer Man.
Nice. You've you've upgraded him.
Oh, I mean, he upgraded him.
Nice.
Yes, he's
very
nice. He's a full dancer now. It's amazing.
I love it.
I don't know about that, but yeah, thank you. That's very generous. Like I said, they're very generous. Yeah, there's a lot of hip movement, but no, they have been. It's been really cool working with them as choreographers, because they approach the movement from an emotional storytelling aspect first and foremost. And the technique is there too, obviously, but there are extremely talented dancers that I can't even touch that can do that for you. But as far as the principles go, telling the story with our body has just been a dream with them. So it's not that bad that I'm not that great of a dancer, but I will fool you.
This sounds like a fun show,
it
and it sounds like the kind of thing that's a good thing. If families can come to this show, it's generally speaking appropriate material.
Yes.
And obviously one of those things, like we always say on this show, what do we always say, Michael?
We always say, put down those remotes, get up off that couch, get in your car, take your children with you, and go to the theater.
Get out there and do something like that. You can pass on the legacy of live and performing
Absolutely.
Arts.
All Shook Up one more time, ladies and gentlemen, at the El Portal Theater opening April 13th through the 22nd. Tickets are very easy to get. You can call 818-508-4200 or visit the El Portal Theater box office, 5269 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood, or go to their website to make it easy for you, elportaltheater.com.
go to online, you're going to Google that, absolutely, All Shook Up, and you'll find some really amazing little bits of information on the show as well. Get a taste of the great show you're going to see when you zip down there to the El Portal.
Has it come to that time?
And now, Embarrassing Moments.
Cassie missed our one sound effect.
We
got to get another set of headphones here, I tell you. All my production budget for the entire year goes straight to that. Brent, we're looking for one embarrassing moment.
Oh, we're starting with me.
That's right.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I'm a father. I'm a new father. So I was thinking of an embarrassing moment that would have to do with the stage, but, you know, I have a four-year-old that has no filter. So, he's newly potty trained, and he loves to check out the bathrooms every place we go.
Oh, that's a big sightseeing tour. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So one time we were in the restroom, and, you know, multiple people are using the bathroom. And my four-year-old Chasen, bless his heart, goes underneath the stall and is like, are you going poop or pee?
Wow. Hey, look, there's information out there we need to know when we're four. It's
exactly
important. Come on.
So now we're teaching privacy.
Very nice. That's the next step. Yeah. Definitely good to pair those two up. Cassie, you got anything like that?
Oh, man.
It doesn't have to be bathroom related. Just okay.
Anymore.
She's learned. She's weaned herself off of that.
Man, I feel like I've given you some of my best ones already. Okay. The one that came to mind was when I was in Matilda on Broadway. We had, you know, the slide for the top of Act Two for When I Grow Up, and, you know, the second sort of half of the song, the adults come on and they join the children who have started the song, and it's like this beautiful, you know, number, and it's sort of like the ballad of the show, if you will. It's very uplifting, hopeful, yada yada. And there's this really, really cool slide that goes in between two walls, and we get to slide down, you know, the big kid slide onto the stage. And there's these two branches that sort of they kind of keep it, you know, they go where the two walls are. I'm trying to describe this so that
they frame it a bit.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's the word I'm looking for. They frame it a bit. And, you know, you slide under them, so it's as if you're like sliding underneath a tree. And, well, I think it was like just the classic story that you hear where my wig got stuck on the branch and I went to slide down and like it caught it and then I stopped sliding and then like I was halfway down the slide.
Inertia seems to have changed drastically for this moment.
Gosh, yeah, and then I like flew down because it finally got the wig and then I flew down in a wig cap and then I was one of the swings, you know, the actual, like, they have swings. And there I went in my wig cap. And it was fantastic, and I had such like a laugh about it. But boy, was it embarrassing!
Yeah,
and
the audience
must
have been with you.
I'm probably scarring some child. I'm so sorry.
The audience must have been with you in that moment. No,
I mean, they were without my wig. That's for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, they realized what was going on.
Maybe,
right?
I mean, there's a lot going on, so it's possible that they.
They didn't see it?
Maybe.
Wow.
Although I definitely...
It's what every performer tells themselves, you know, please let them not have seen it. And sometimes you
totally
get lucky, but it's funny too because it doesn't matter. You know, it's live performance and people are going to go with you either way, which is the greatest thing about theater. I love that.
Well,
so.
Barry Pearl has probably not lost a wig in any performance.
Well, no,
nothing embarrassing has ever happened.
And that was going to be mine. No, the last time I was talking about falling off the stage naked onto a whole bunch of
which
people
is still
drinking
one
drinks,
of my favorites.
That and splitting my pants and Charlie Brown playing Schroeder as
a lot
the
of
catcher.
Nudity.
A lot
you.
Of nudity.
That's right.
And but along the lines of Cassie, I was playing the waiter in She Loves Me, and the wig, which was tight to begin with, it was a short wig, and of course it was in the late 60s, early 70s, so we had a lot of hair. And you put a stocking, literally a silk stocking, over your head to push down the hair, and then this very tight wig, and I do this flip over these people who are holding hands, and whack, off comes the wig.
Wow,
and scatologically speaking, going back to Brent, on Broadway, 62, 63 actually, Bill Sykes has a bulldog, and Oliver, we're doing Oliver, and the dog took a poop right smack on stage where I am supposed to land for the curtain call. Food, glorious, food. So I took it upon myself with the paper towels, and the show is over, and the curtain curtain's coming down, Fagin's leaving, and between the time the curtain comes down, as it starts to go, I run on stage, I grab it up, and food, Glenn, I throw it over my shoulder just as that starts, and I think I hit somebody behind me.
Oh no.
That poor guy.
That's a crappy story.
Yeah. Oh, man,
that's my girl. I've been waiting for that. Oh, that was wonderful. Well, now I got to say, this has been a fun show, obviously.
My gosh.
The show is called All Shook Up, and it's opening April 13th at the El Portal Theater. We highly encourage you to get out and go see that. But not only that, there's other great things here in Los Angeles. Of course, Love Never Dies at the beautiful Pantages Theater.
Yes.
So many great things going on for you to get out and see.
Indeed.
If you'd like to find out more about us, we'd encourage you to go to Instagram. You can visit us at State of the Arts, and you'll find out more about these three people who we've just posted a photo of if you want to see faces that go with these beautiful voices.
Don't forget about the Princess giveaway for the wonderful vacation cruise.
And they can do that by going to our State of the Arts page at LA Talk Radio.
What'd you say?
State of the Arts. State of the Arts page at LA Talk Radio. And obviously, one of the things that we always say on this show is if you're not doing something and getting out there and supporting the arts, then you're letting it go away. So be sure you go see a show this weekend if you can.
And in these times, we need every laugh and good moment of joy in our lives.
And these three people provided plenty of them today. Thank you all for being here. We greatly appreciate it. And Michael, so good to see you. Thank you. Where do I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.